show you the studio first, and then
and
do that.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you coming out and doing this.
No problem.
I really do. This is the third time you've come out and done this, and I've had something. I really appreciate it.
I like your work.
Thanks. So, this is my studio, and it's definitely in working right now, you know. And I guess I'll just show you kind of the studio first. Let me turn this off. So, this area obviously is the wood working area, and I kind of keep it separated from the metal just because, if I was to be blasting sparks in here and everything like that, it'd be a super bad idea. I'll show you this piece real quick. This piece right here is, I guess, the one that I've got several pieces that I would like to get finished for the show. This one's a priority. And I'm gonna name it like for the show. So it's gonna be, the form as far as the walnut is finished, right? Well, almost finished. But what I'm doing right now is insetting the steel, and you can see how I'm kind of cutting out these pieces of steel and insetting them, and then I'm gonna make these edges extremely jagged and kind of do a polish on the steel so it'll be bright, and when I seal the wood it'll be actually very dark, so it'll look in the end like an extremely organic kind of flowing complex form with essentially like jagged blades coming out from it. And it's I guess the reason that this piece in particular is really important to me for the show, it's kind of coming out of this situation that I had with my uncle passing away. Like, he passed away 3 weeks ago now, and he was only 60 years old, and it was extremely sudden. He had like a really aggressive lymphoma, and so this piece is a reaction to that experience, and I started working on it, and as I was working on it, I had a sketch of the idea, and it just developed more and more. I realized as I was working on it that this is specifically about all that, because it was so intense and so sudden, and honestly really complex too, because he had a lot of good qualities and he had a lot of really, really difficult qualities as a person. And so there's that really strong push-pull with emotions, like deep, legitimate frustration with relationship stuff as a family member. And then at the same time, this really, really hard sense of loss. And so a lot, I think what's developed with this show is this juxtaposition of different extremes that happen exactly at the same time, and it's pretty specific to everybody's lives. I think everybody has all these different situations. Life is like that. You go outside and you look at nature and how beautiful it is, and how peaceful it is, and how calming and soothing it is, and yet while you're looking at it, hundreds of thousands of animals are getting eaten alive. So there's this just really strange duality that's always happening. And so that's really what the show has developed into. And the work that I'm doing is not really trying to make reason for it, but it's talking about it, you know, and thinking about it, and I guess describing it to a certain degree, because I don't know if there's really any answers for why, you know. So.
Well, and this, I mean, it is, it's folding back in on itself. It's, you know, almost like Celtic knotwork back in on itself, and as you said, very organic.
It's also like the leaning forward to it is a posture of, honestly, like, you know, when something is leaning towards you, it's very much engaging you and can be somewhat aggressive, you know. So, and it's not, it's, I play with balance of material a whole lot with the work, because I work with such heavy materials that, if I manipulate the material and the weight of the material and the gesture of the material, what happens is that the form starts to appear very light. And I think it's a really, it's an interesting way of handling extremely heavy materials. You know, and it gives this illusion that something is much more ethereal when, in fact, it's really, really heavy, you know? So, yeah.
It looks almost as if the walnut portion is almost balanced, but when you add that heavy steel to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it even the walnut by itself is going to topple, you know. But yeah, and I think my girlfriend says it's not going to be possible to pick up because of all the sharp edges. So.
So how is it going to be displayed then if it can't sit on the flat bottom?
Right. Well, what I'll do is I'll build a metal pedestal on the bottom that it'll sit directly on. When it sits, it'll actually sit up a little higher, and the weight of that pedestal will balance it out. So, you know, it'll just be putting steel as a counterbalance, but it'll be hidden, so, you know, it'll still give that effect of moving forwards, moving towards you in that gesture. So yeah, that's going to be what it has become for me, the culmination of the show. And like I said, I've got a lot of other ideas that I'm working on right now, but that's going to be the central piece, the period in the sentence, you know. So in this piece right here, I'm not sure if it's going to be finished yet.
This one looks almost like you're carving out a small boat.
It does. I've heard that before. When it'll actually stand up and be about 8 feet tall, and have more of like a curved enshrining effect, because the activity is going to be happening inside. I mean, you can imagine, like, if this piece that has all this energy was to sit suspended inside like that. You know, have that really calm outside, but this really, you know, chaotic inside. That the effect of that could be pretty cool. And I have a piece inside that you want to come out this way? Here. Oh no, there's all sorts of stuff everywhere.
That's all right, I'm fine. So this piece, that I guess maybe if you don't look at it as a boat, you could look at it as a carved out banana.
Yeah, it's got like that, yeah, like a kind of a bean or something like that, where, you know, you open it up and inside is, I've gotten, like, for a long time now, I've used this this reference to mother and child, kind of the embryo, and all the it's just opens up so much interpretation and so many ideas with that relationship, because at once, for most people, it's the absolute most strong, powerful relationship that exists in life. And me as a man, I'll never have that kind of, I'll just have awareness of it. I won't experience it, you know, except, you know, the relationship that I have with my own mother. But I think for a mother to a child, that protectiveness and that love is I think unparalleled in the world. And so that's always really intrigued me. And then at the same time, there's all sorts of things that can be taken from that kind of womb cocoon kind of thing, where there's you know, entrapment, you know, and then there's protectiveness and entrapment, and both are happening kind of at the same time, which is a really weird and interesting idea to me. So to go back to this piece, you know, you've got this really concave area that's enshrining or protecting, you know, something happening within it. And I've always been just really fascinated with that juxtaposition. And it also goes, like, if you think about shrines and how it's the same kind of thing. There's this, you know, womb with the sacred enshrined in this protective place. You know, so I've always found that really fascinating. So we'll see if that one comes about for the show. And you know, it's possible that, it's possible that something really horrible is happening there. You know, what's being revealed is something really scary, you know, at the same time. So I'm not, and I've been thinking about going in that direction with it, you know. I mean, really, I've done a lot of sketches and stuff like that, and the way I work is with sketches sometimes, and sometimes it's just very intuitive. And with this piece, I've done a lot of sketches, and I've not been happy with what I've come up with. And so I let it sit, and a lot of times, you know, when that happens, the thought will come, the idea will come, and I'll work with it once it comes. So yeah, you want to go inside?
Sure.
These guys were part of the grant process for Make Work Grant. Several 4 years ago now, maybe. And it's a triptych that's based on the life cycle of some women, where it's the maiden form, and then the mother, who's kind of has weight of holding, you know, and then the grand dame here, who's, you know, wizened with age, you know, and she's got experience. So it's a reference to that life cycle. So, and all these guys out here are kind of in process right now, all these little smaller pieces.
You said you do work with a lot of drawings, but mm-hmm. It seems a lot of this it's not finished in your mind.
Some of it is and some of it isn't. Like the first piece I was showing you, the harmony and hostility, that piece was a completed thought. The piece right here that's being sealed up right now, that was a complete thought and a complete sketch. So some of them are totally finished, and then some of them are, I'll have part of an idea that I want to talk about, you know. I have part of an idea that I want to talk about, but the whole thing, it's kind of it's intuitive, and it's also listening too, because I really believe I believe that listening, and I don't know what it is. I mean, people call it the muse, you know, but I believe in that. I really believe in that. I mean, I've experienced it where, you know, I've been laying in my bed about to go to sleep, and all of a sudden a complete form will just appear in my head. And it wasn't that I was even really thinking about sculpture at that time. It's just, boom, it appears. And so, you know, explain where that comes from. I have no idea. I don't think it's super important to understand exactly why, or I should say, I don't believe we can understand exactly why, but it's real, you know, so. After you.
Come on. Yeah. So a lot of the pieces that are finished are in here, like this piece, you know, is Illuminated is the name of it, and it it's the piece that is on the, I guess, the postcard and the ad for the show, and it's also kind of playing on that, you know, really convex or concaved area where within is unfolding, you know. And this wood right here is from the elm tree in Coolidge Park. Do you remember that it got struck by lightning? Yeah. So I got some of that and made this piece. It's beautiful, beautiful wood to work with.
It's a very active wood. I mean, it has so much going on.
Yeah, it does. The spalting in it and everything like that. It's kind of its own painting in itself, you know.
And so, inside these concave little thing, it's on these runnels. They look like angry broken drill bits.
Yeah, they're I based them on spores or barnacles, you know. I was thinking about both of those things and how they're this, you know, both are this thing that kind of takes over in a colony, you know, because I with this piece I was thinking a whole lot about how, like, beauty and decay, and how as things wither, as they age, as you know, basically as like in nature, when, you know, a tree rots, it's beautiful. It sheds its bark, it sheds, and you just see this really gnarled form, and you see the, you know, kind of the bones of itself, you know. And then when you see, like, you know, colonies of mushrooms or spore, or, you know, just any kind of colony that takes over like that, it becomes this beautiful pattern. But it's also really obviously, like, this is looks really edgy and kind of, it, you know, to use the word, it looks really hostile, you know. I mean, it could cut you. So yeah,
I'm kind of reminded of the sandworms on
Dune. That's, I just finished that book. That's awesome. I like that a lot. I definitely got a lot of influence from, I grew up, my mother, on road trips. You know, my parents traveled a lot when I grew up, and on these road trips we would drive, and it would be the memories I have of those road trips are my mom reading The Lord of the Rings to us while we were driving, and then listening to NPR in the car, you know, when I was, like, drifting off to sleep in the back seat. So I guess that being said, a lot of the influence of my work, there's definitely a sense of, there's definitely an element of fantasy in that. A lot of my pieces I view as beings representing the idea. So each is a personality, and when I finish a piece, a lot of times it feels like its own, you know, personality and its own finished being. So and this piece, I haven't named this piece yet, you know. I like to play with the names and make sure they fit the personality. So with this, you know, there's a lot of, like, compression and the form is being destroyed. It's marble, and so there's kind of this solid form that looks like, at areas, it's falling apart and being crushed. So the name will be based on that idea for it.
It's kind of echoes the same theme of the rounded organic pieces moving within each other, but then it's suddenly sliced up.
Right, exactly. And so, you know, with that, I mean, I think with, when you make an organic form, people automatically assume human proportions to it, you know, I mean, that looks like this, that looks like that, and it almost always pertains to the body. You know, I think it's because we see ourselves more than anything, and we think about ourselves more than anything. So, you know, that's the assumption. So you don't have, I have found, to get people to relate to my work, I don't have to spell out this is this is that visually. I mean, I can create that reference through simply creating organic forms, and people fill in the gaps, you know, and usually, you know, understand this is painful, this is beautiful, this is, you know, a peaceful thing, or this is, you know, and I see this part of it being really soothing, but then look, it's falling into this harsh environment, you know, and all of it, you know, to me relates to the experiences that we have in life on a broader spectrum, and the same experiences that, you know, religion and myth all make explanations for, you know. And I mean, some people with their work try to make explanations, and right now, at least where I am with my work, I'm not so much making explanations as observations about it, and also relating my own experiences with these things that happen, you know, like I was talking about with my uncle passing away. I mean, you know, the guy, you know, had so many brilliant things about him, and then so many difficult things about him, and so you have that lifetime of dealing with that, and then he dies, and then the finality of that, the suddenness of that, you know, there's no room anymore for like sorting things out, you know. And I think the thing with him, the thing that struck me so much with him dying, is that he didn't even realize that it was going to happen. There wasn't time for him to wrap around that, you know. And so that being said, you know, that's just how life is. And it's not a movie, or, you know, that we kind of have, we're, you know, fed so much that there's going to be this catharsis, or there is always this ending, whether it's good or it's bad, that everybody kind of understands. And sometimes there's so much in life that happens that you just don't understand, and there's not, you know, an answer. And we create ways to answer it. You know, everybody does that. But, you know, the truth is, you know, it's, I don't know if there is any real clear answers. And that doesn't equate to me to like being negative. It just means that it's really important to pay attention to where we are. You know, I think that's the bottom line. It's really important to pay attention to where we are, because there is so much beauty in life. There's so much beauty happening all the time. And, you know, and this is coming from a place where I just witnessed something really hard, but it is fleeting, you know, it is fleeting. And so it's really important to pay attention.
I think in some ways the scratch is like it's in progress. Mm-hmm. It's not quite finished, or something is still going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully there's a sense of movement, you know, and life within it, you know, because, you know, the danger of making things out of steel, stone, and wood is that you have a dead object. And I think that it is showing energy, and it is showing movement, you know, that it has a breath of life in it, of its own. You know, there's some magic in that, you know. Rodin, when he was doing his figures, he studied the figure to where he knew how to sculpt muscles that were flexed that gave the impression of potential energy and potential motion, which I think is mind-boggling, you know. And so hopefully that, you know, just a sense of energy and motion and movement and life, you know, that's what it's about, you know. So this piece is called Wound, and, you know, this form looking back in on itself at this really, really violent thing happening to it. And I used rust. I took, this is stainless steel piercing, this piece.
I used carbon steel and actually used a rusting agent on it so it would bleed and absorb into the marble, and it and looks like, you know, a wound, you know. And then I took that out and put stainless steel in as the thing that caused the wound. So
not only do you have in the white marble what looks like an angry wound, but it also almost looks like it's bled down the side.
Oh yeah.
At the bottom.
Yeah, it's definitely a, to me, that piece is probably the most visceral and painful piece. You know, it's the most direct, certainly, you know, and some of the pieces are much more light and calming, and that one is the absolute least of them all. So it's definitely a, I look at it and I'm like, oh my God, that hurts. So, and, you know, so, and these are some of the other pieces that'll be in the show. A couple of them won't be. I'm going to be selective about what I put in. But this little piece is about, it's called Tribal, and it's about community. Kind of the three forms that are close to each other. There's another one outside that's made of metal that's kind of similar in the vein, where they're not exact replicas of each other, but they're very close, and they're all in a kind of a tight group together. So it kind of talks about family and you know, the closeness of it, and also they're all facing away from each other. So there's that kind of, I don't know, a lot of the I guess the show is about complexity and about duality and juxtapositions of different ideas that happen at the same time, which I think is, you know, a lot of what life is about, you know. So
you have beautiful marble. Did all of these marble pieces come from
one quarry? No. I've had some of these pieces for years and years. You know, some of it came from, like, this piece here came from a quarry in Alabama. And that piece actually came from somebody had a slab of marble that they had at their house and they gave to me. You know, so there's just a lot of different places that it comes from. I mean, this is a piece of sandstone, actually, which... If there's any carvers listening to this interview, you know, if you want to save your stone carving tools, don't use sandstone. It'll eat them up. So,
are either of these pieces going to be in?
That piece will be, for sure. This piece, I'm not sure yet. I'm not sure about it yet. I like the piece a lot. I feel like it's not a fit as much for the show. Everything else that, you know, fits either as a question in the spectrum that we've been talking about, or is a good representative of something, you know, that I find just really wonderful and beautiful, or something that's painful, you know, so moving across that spectrum. And this piece doesn't really fit into that category. That definitely does. So that's called Aspects of Investigation. And, it, you know, it's the idea of marble as like a very, special, material. I'm playing on that with that piece, that, you know, you want to reach and touch the marble because it's smooth and it's, you know, a beautiful stone, but then you've got this barrier around it that will, you know, cut you if you reach into it. So that was... You know, that was based, that piece was specifically based on a relationship that I had that was particularly painful, you know, and realizing that it wasn't really the thing that was, that I'd hoped for at the time, you know, so.
Well, it has, you know, this almost Ovid of warm wood,
mm-hmm.
and then the cool of the marble on the mm-hmm. inside, but these look like rusted metal, sharp
right.
objects, just right. keeping
Absolutely.
You from that
Absolutely.
Cool, gentle
yeah.
of the marble.
Yeah, and you know, in like a, I think a really direct way, it kind of, it talks about those themes about, you know, this very powerful draw, you know, and at the same time, you know, it'll cut you, you know, so... Yeah, and sometimes it's not like that, you know, but a lot of times, you know, I mean, this piece was actually made at a time when I was, like, really going through it, you know, with that situation, you know. So there's a lot of the, you know, the work is reactions and descriptions and expression of experience. So
it does look like there's one safe path that you might could do it if you're not afraid to slip.
Right. It's like playing doctor, right? Remember that little buzz
operation.
Game? Operation. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Do you have like, do you want to have a seat? You got any like questions about the
lovely roses?
From my lady.
The thing I find with abstract work is it has its own taste.
Uh-huh.
It has, I mean, and it's hard to put verbiage to something that is, you know, it's just there. But when it's abstract, it's not that you have to see the same thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Or even feel the same thing.
Well, it's a door to discussion, right?
Yeah, but just that you're moved at all.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think... I equate abstract work a lot of times to music, where you know, in music you can have a song and you can take the words out of that song, and the instrumentation will tell you what it's about enough for you to really emotionally relate to it, you know. And when I started carving and started doing sculpture, at first I was carving these figures, human figures, out of plaster. What interested me so much was the gesture and what they were doing and what their relationship to each other was. So I'd make these little communities of figures. And one of my instructors asked, why don't you ever carve a face? Why don't you ever carve clothing? Why don't, you know, why is it just this very simple form? And for me, what I realized, and I didn't realize it at the time, but later thinking back to that, I realized that, you know, what had always interested me was what they were doing, what they were experiencing, what they were feeling. And I found that I could, for me, do that in a really, really intriguing way. It's a bit more enigmatic, but at the same time, it's, for me, much more visceral and much more experiential than spelling out this is this and this is what I'm saying. So.
Most of your works, all of them that I've seen actually, have movement and something that holds perfectly still. I mean, it's not like Sandy Calder that actually put movement in his pieces,
right. But
your pieces suggest movement.
Mm.
And I don't think I've ever seen anything you've done that didn't suggest movement. It's like nothing is ever standing totally still.
That's a high compliment. I appreciate that. No, I think it's really important. And kind of going back to, for me, that is the breath of life in them. And it's so important, I think, in art to, you know, for me to be able to, I mean, obviously, hopefully my craftsmanship is really solid and what I'm trying to communicate comes through. Those things are important, but equally important is there's something that talks about this thing is alive, this thing has its own soul. And that, to me, that makes a unified, powerful work of art. All those things together. And if one's lacking, then, you know, it may not be as effective as other work. And I've certainly made, for me, pieces that I've looked at and they haven't really left the studio because they weren't, it wasn't a powerful expression in those realms, in all three of those realms. So
let's get to the bare bones of your show. Where and when will these be on display?
The opening itself is on Friday, November the 15th, and it's from 5 to 7. It's at the Exum Gallery, and that is at St. Paul's Church at the end of 7th Street, downtown. And the show will run until
right till the end of December. So, and a lot of the works, I mean, most of the work that's going to be in the show, is not on my website yet, you know, just because it's all, like, I've worked really, really hard over the last year, to get stuff ready for this. So a lot of the stuff is new, which I'm of course really excited about, excited to show it and share it with people. So
now, you've done public art, you've done large installations. Mm-hmm. Some of these are almost coffee table size in some ways.
Part of that is the space that I'm showing in. It's not a huge, like, you know, I mean, you remember the Land of Shadows installation, and I mean, that was like an enormous space, and it was very much of an experience that was happening, that people walked into that experience. And with this, I mean, this body of work, for the most part, are pieces that are more personal. They're much more personal, and they're much more specific to, I don't know, I mean, this is, it's a pretty, I guess when I think about it, and a lot of this as we're talking, I'm realizing where I've been going. You know, when you're working on something, there's so much going on that you're putting into it, and thinking about that, maybe the whole big picture is not as clear, and I guess it's cool to talk about because it kind of clears those things up. But this is a very personal show, and personal to a lot of the things that I, like, you know, that I've been thinking about and experiencing for the last little while, you know. And again, like, it would be easy to say, you know, with a title, you know, Harmony and Hostility, that, you know, it's easy for people to focus on, if you have two words, to pick the negative one. If that's what came across with the show, I think that I would have missed the mark that I was aiming at. Because the amazing thing about life to me is that while difficult things happen, like with my uncle passing away, you know, this immense amount of beauty happens. And the whole point of it, I think, for me, is to treasure that, you know, and to, you know, so many people try to put a name on things and explain them specifically, and I don't really do that. It's just not part of who I am. I don't, you know, on a personal level, I don't prescribe to a specific religion. I don't, you know, yet I hope to be a very spiritual person. So the names aren't as much of an importance as a relationship and trying to be in the world as a good person, if that makes sense.
I perfectly get sense.